Hello.
Hello. Oh, shit, I'm not in it.
Fuck. No, you are.
Edit that out.
No, you are in it.
Okay,
we
good.
Don't have.
Yeah, we don't have anything official.
I'm expecting like a All Aussie Mystery Hour.
Oh, I've done that before. It's not a fun.
It went down like a lead balloon with me.
It was a lead balloon, let me tell you. It was literally like silence and crickets.
And then I wheeze laughed at you.
And everyone was like, can Mel never do that again?
Mel, never sing again.
Bring it back.
So, yes, we have a third person in the room.
Yes, there
we
is
We don't know
a
where she
person.
Came from. She just turned up.
Off the street, man.
She doesn't work here. We've called the security guard downstairs.
We just can't get rid of her. She's now just here now.
Halfway through a bottle of wine.
Making yourself at home.
No, we've got Alicia from The Bachelor / Bachelor in Paradise / Real Life.
Let's say Bachelor in Paradise.
Let's go.
Yeah.
That's my favorite one.
Well, yeah. Well,
that was your peak.
Yeah.
That was your peak, which we will get to.
Mm.
You peaked quite well in that. We were surprised, but
get there.
I'm a bit drunk, so I'm all over the shop. Josie's going to have to run this bitch.
I'll be there.
Well, that's fine. But Mel, do you want to explain how we...
Yes.
Why you thought I was
Mel and I watch. Mel and I watch all the Bachelor series because we recap them for Pedestrian.
Also, we love them.
And we love them.
It started because we love them.
Yes.
Then we accidentally became the recappers. And
because
now
we
it's
were
become
messaging
work.
Each other anyway.
Yeah.
And then we're like, let's turn these messages into a recap.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we were watching Nick Cummins' season.
Yes.
And Mel wrote a story.
It was, you know what, I've worked out, okay? I've got to preface this because everyone's going to think I am the biggest cunt of
preface.
The universe.
Preface.
Can we say cunt on this podcast? Yes. This is my new favourite podcast.
We say cunt on the podcast.
I love that.
I just corrected a word. Preface.
Preface.
Oh, no.
That's all right.
Oh, my God. I got done the other day just filling Alicia in.
Yeah.
What was that? What was that word?
Awry.
Awry. I said awry.
Oh, no.
And I just didn't say anything.
Preface is a hard
like,
one.
Am I wrong? But I know preface.
It's not preface?
No, it's
see,
preface.
I stop myself. Like, I'm about to say it and I'm about to say preface. And I'm like, nope, I know this one.
Well, I think preface. It's preface. Am I wrong?
Yeah, you're right.
Okay.
We're good.
We're good.
We're fine.
Guys, so this has been dictionary hour.
Dictionary hour. That's all we have time for.
Anyway, so I wrote this article. It was a Saturday. I had to work on a Saturday because Alicia's trying to drink her wine. She's not seasoned at the wine microphone.
Yeah, it's hard.
It's hard. It's not just like a normal podcast mic. We've got a whole gear. I feel like I've got my like, braces, but the ones that like...
Oh, like Lisa has braces. Yeah. That's what it's like. Anyway, so I'm working on a Saturday and I was really bored. Mm. There was nothing happening and it was mid-bachelor and I was like, I'm going to do a ranking of all the bachelor contestants by how likely they are to win this season.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good article.
Okay. I have not read this since I wrote it. And when I write these articles, I just like it's like word vomit onto a page and then I just put it out into the universe.
What was my descriptor? What did I come?
You came last.
Oh, shit. But we were a bit way through.
You
right?
were, yeah.
So we've not got 28 girls anymore. There's at least like, what rank am I?
You've beaten like two people.
Okay, that's fine. I'll take it.
You were like number 15.
Far
and I didn't count intruders because they never win. They just never win.
No.
That's true.
They almost they did win. In
What even is
Sam Wood season.
They're just there. Oh,
well,
please.
Oh, guys,
that was never going to happen.
We were actually incorrect and I thought you would know your...
Sophie Monk.
Yeah.
Yeah, Stu.
Oh, I didn't watch that.
And also that didn't really count, I guess, because
they already knew each other.
And also they cast really, like no offence, love Warner Brothers to bits. I don't even know if... It was just cast... Maybe not.
It was
like there was a lot
strange.
Of very young guys.
Yeah.
I feel like she would have been hard to cast for.
And I think apparently she was like, I need some other people.
Yes,
and then they brought
that's hilarious.
Yeah. Like,
what about
I reckon,
Jared though? Like, hey.
Oh, yeah. Sweet. Bless him.
Sweet sunburnt Jared.
Sweet sunburnt Jared.
I would have gone for Jared. Just saying.
You know what? Again, big glow up in Bachelor in Paradise.
Love
literally.
Him, totally.
And. Metaphorically.
Literally glowing. An alarmingly peace colour.
Alarmingly glowing.
It was like a warning during my season. Like the crew would be, don't want to be like Jared.
Period.
Hell yeah.
They're like, more sunscreen.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Anyway, yes. So this is what I wrote about Alicia because Alicia basically, this is the first time we spoke where she DM'd me after this.
Our first interaction.
And you were really nice in your DM and I would have been really cunty if someone wrote this about me. This is what I wrote. There is no way in fucking hell Alicia is winning this bitch. She has made her bed and that bed is, quote, weird extra friend of the two bitchy girls in the mansion. In short, she has aligned herself with this season's dickheads, but she doesn't actually contribute much besides some snarky laughter and mincing around after them like a sad, nervous henchman.
I mean, it's not wrong.
Oh, God. It's a shame, really, because a friend of mine went on a few dates with her once and said she's really nice. However, she has made her bed, as I said, and this is all in capitals, you made your trash fire bed, Alicia.
I'm so mean. I mean, you're not wrong. It's accurate. I was the, what did we say again, just to crush my heart a little bit.
The nervous henchman.
Nervous henchman. Yeah, you did always seem a little bit like, I remember it seeming like, look, I can't really remember
because
I have a
terrible memory.
Because
they were outrageously bitchy, these two girls.
Yeah, and you were sort of more mates with
Romy and what's her face.
See, I think I actually just got – this is going to out myself. I think I just got lucky in the sense that I think a lot of the time the things that they were trying to – the things that they were saying for the most part, like don't get me wrong, that were like still the like – a tan can hide anything comments, which was like, we're like, man, probably shouldn't say that. But a lot of the time they would say things in this bitchy way that like, as you would to a colleague or something like that, that's meant to be in jest.
Yeah.
I was probably, it's like, it's maybe one of two things. I do laugh a lot, but also I think I was like kind of subconsciously aware of the fact that if I laughed after I said the maybe thing that crossed the boundary.
Yeah. It came off.
It came off as like, yeah, like less. Well, I mean, it came off as a sad, nervous henchman, clearly.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah. I suppose that's what put me as like the not the most mean of the mean girls.
This is such like, how stale is this conversation? No, it's like a stale, batchy like, conversation from like, 2 years ago.
Hey guys, it was a year ago.
Guys, totally want to hear Alicia talk about this time, like ages ago, where you forgot everything about
and
everything
you guys
that
didn't
happened.
Watch the Bachelor,
and now you guys
so
realize
like,
I'm a really nice person.
Anyway, let's talk about Bachelor in Paradise because it's way more like
okay,
recent.
So spicy. Basically, we watched Bachelor. You were part of the mean girl trio and probably like the least mean of the mean girl trio. And then we were just like, then there was a bit of outrage because it was like Kat and Alicia are coming to Paradise and people were like, who would put these bullies back on the show? Whatever. I didn't care. I was like, great, drama. Yeah. And then we saw a whole new side of you. Like, we actually got to see you. I don't think we actually did on Bachelor because Kat and Romy were these huge personalities and said all the spicy stuff that got the screen time. But we finally got to see you and Mel and I were like, Alicia is a fucking
We were
mood.
So obsessed.
Love.
I just used all the wine. You can have that weird ice bit at the bottom.
Oh, that's fine.
I love ice wine. It's my favorite.
Icy, frozen.
How did you know?
Old wine.
We're like the main storyline because you were just like, I love Patty. And then you guys
really?
Were like making
Patty
out everywhere.
Patty was the fucking worst. How did you love
what
Patty? We were like, what is that? What is that?
So I went, it was totally legitimate. And now that I like watch it myself, I'm like, oh, I completely understand why people are like, what? Like I've also seen like places that it's like been tactics that I went for Patty and I think that's like so mean to Patty.
Exactly. It really is.
So mean. But the reason why I was like, and I wrote because it's so funny, like obviously before you go on Paradise, you actually quite a number of times you the wish list, which is something that comes up on the show.
Right.
And
it's a
bit problematic because people hear particularly the male participants talking about their wish list, like Tennille's the top of my wish list or something like that. And people think that it's like a property or ownership thing.
It's a bit of a meat market vibe.
But it's actually a thing that like, not to like delve too much into production, but we
a
do
tool
like
for them to
yeah,
like
we
choose
su- we submit like who our wish list is. Yeah. So, you know, if someone seems like they'd be keen to do the show, like, and two people are interested in each other, that's great.
That's going
to
be great television.
Patty was on my wish list, not the first one, but once I'd seen him on his season. And it was because he was like sort of the semi-villain of his season, sort of like the party boy.
Yeah.
And because I had just gravitated so fast towards Kat and Romy, and honestly, it was like, this is so lame. It's like, it was like a magnetic connection. Yeah. I found love. But I figured like, and Romy and Kat are very, like, are people of a lot of substance. I thought, oh, maybe that's like the key with Patty as well. Maybe this is like a truism of all reality TV. Yeah. And he's like this amazing, interesting guy, which he is, but it just unfortunately didn't work out Wednesday to Thursday. Rest in peace.
Well, just like that cocky guy. Like, I can look, I mean, he definitely was painted badly as well in the show, but also he's just that cocky dude where you're like, he's just so like, you know, British cockiness.
Yes.
Like, and some people love that.
There is something nice about it for some people.
It's fine that you liked him. Mm. It's weird to me, but it's fine. but yeah, and then obviously, so it was like Patty, was it just Patty and then it was Jules? Or was it?
Who else? Patty and
Demon.
Oh my God, you pashed Demon Daniel.
Demon Daniel.
Oh my gosh. But then there was also Davey in between.
Oh my God, Davey. Everyone wanted a piece of the Alicia Pie.
History revisionism here for me and Davey.
Yeah.
Davey Lloyd. We went on a date and we had to like.
That's right.
They were painting a thing of us, like our love story. And we had to stare into each other's eyes. And I'm such a Batch fan that like I'd known Davey from way back.
Yeah.
And he kept getting pissed off because I kept calling him the Davey Lloyd, but like to his face. And we're like in a car with these GoPros and I'm like, oh my God, I'm with the Davey Lloyd. And he's like, can you stop, mate? Like,
we're calm like, down. Oh,
Davey's like, hey, can you like autograph my boob or something? Like,
there was also Demon Daniel, who we personally don't like because he's a demon. But then you guys were like pashing to the max times 10 and we were like,
he was pashing me, let's be honest.
He's pretty hot in like an American like Ken doll way.
Yes. He is also like the nicest. I still very regularly talk to Daniel.
So my theory is he's just another Kat Romy situation where he really leans into that whole persona.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And he was such a demon in the first season, but you could tell he
was
doing it.
I can't even remember what happened. I was thinking about this.
It was fun though. Like he was so bad that he was
like,
fun.
I'm Geppetto, I'm going to make one of my puppets.
Right.
The tea with the puppet comment is that it's from, like, I mean, I'm not into this, but to his credit, it's from a Will Ferrell movie.
Oh, right,
it's from, like, I don't know, The House or something like that.
Yeah, so and he's, like, making a quote, but we just didn't know it.
And then it didn't translate.
A bro quote. Then he just sounded
Demon Daniel, when you quote, like, stale films, this is what happens.
Don't quote Will Ferrell movies.
It's only Anchorman. You can only credit Anchorman or nothing else.
That's all you've got.
You can only say, I'm Ron Burgundy. Oh, no one will understand.
Yeah. Exactly.
No, what it is.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
Many leather-bound mahogany books or whatever.
Like, say classy San Diego, maybe. There's the only, nothing else.
Come on. We're in, like, pop culture. You've got to make those references very,
keep it tight.
Very accessible.
Keep it tight,
maybe
as my
that movie
said.
Was a bigger hit in Canada than it was here.
Yeah,
maybe.
Potentially.
Mm. Okay, speaking of demons, then you dated Jules.
And then, of course, the Jules situation happened.
There's so much to unpack here, and I just, like, I feel like everybody, like,
the
literally.
The crux of it is.
Who were we talking to before? Chantel
our
workmate.
Office, my best friend, Al. Mm-hmm. Me, I've been in a relationship for 9 years, but even I was like, this is taking me back to dating these types of people and feeling these types of feelings and feeling like it's my fault.
Yeah.
And blaming myself. And I hated that you were blaming yourself for his immaturity or whatever. And I think it was so real and so relatable. Like reality TV, Bachelor, whatever. It's fun. It's a bit escapist.
Yeah.
But it actually, this like storyline, inverted commas, but you and Jules on the show, it was the most relatable thing that we've seen on The Bachelor.
So I went through this whole, like, one of my exes, like, destroyed me because I was so into him and he was just too fucking emotionally immature. And I think it's so hard when somebody is like, I like you, but, like, sort of, and then, like, this, and, like, I don't know, and I
umbrella
don't know.
Ambiguity.
And I have this huge umbrella of
oh my God. Like,
and it's fucked. And I think everyone has been through it.
Yeah, we've all been there. And watching from the outside, because because Jules came in, like you were there from the start, and people were like, Alicia rules, like love Alicia, such a mood this season. Everyone was very protective of you.
I didn't even feel that way, actually. I actually thought, interestingly enough, when me and Patty had the fight, there were still people, very much the sentiment that I received was, like people were sort of on Patty's side until probably the end of the episode where they saw how unhinged he was with Brooke.
Yeah.
Mm. And but for the first part of the episode, like what I was, I'm like prolific on Twitter and like just like scrolling, like lurking. The general sentiment was like, I mean, like Laura Byrne, Maddie J's Laura, like actually put up a story calling me a gaslighter with the Patty with the Patty situation.
Oh my
God, yeah, and I sort of like, but I sort
girls
of
support girls.
But I sort of understood how maybe you could read it that way, in the fact that if you're coming into it like not really knowing much about me or taking the sort of the picture from The Bachelor. And you're using that as your frame of reference for how I might act as a person. Mm. Maybe you could see it. Like, gaslighting is a pretty big word to use, and I was pretty, like, affronted by it, particularly from someone as that I, like, quite admire. Mm. The reception there, like, I didn't really feel like – I actually felt like the Jules date was the moment where people – when they saw me having, like, a genuine – one-on-one human connection and they could see how I was relating to somebody, I feel like that's when people started to maybe not like fall in love,
warm to me.
I think that that's maybe when people started to be like, okay, shit, maybe we haven't got the full picture of her. But there was still plenty of people.
There was plenty of people
tweeting when we finished me and Jules's date. There were plenty of people being like, she's going to break his heart.
Oh, my God, that is so dumb.
And I'm, like, sitting at home. And Jules was there with me when we watched our date back together.
Oh, really?
And we were sitting there and I'm, like, going through the tweets and stuff. And we were pretty drunk. and I was like, oh, people think that I'm going to break your heart. Well,
spoiler alert.
You're going to break mine, sweetie.
I don't get that because we were, like, already 100% Team Alicia. And, like, that date was disgusting, FYI. Yep. I really don't like chocolate games.
And food.
I love the chocolate game.
No. What about that time that the chocolate bar? And Richie and Alex
That's iconic, probably full body chocolate is that's a little iconic. Bit much for me.
It's disgusting. But it was cute.
Alex has told me since, again, we're coming up with all the good tea.
Yeah.
Alex literally, like, had chocolate. Just
right up her vagina.
Just still up in place.
That's what I was thinking about.
It was
about.
Chalky vagina.
I can imagine.
You go to the beach sometimes, like seawater goes, and you're like, whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. A bit of sand, it's right like up 3 weeks later.
That is just like amazing. Oh. You know what? Of anything to have up there.
Chocolate.
Chocolate's a good one.
I love that.
What were we talking about? Oh, yeah. I think it was just that, look, to sum it up.
Yes.
Everyone has dated a Jules.
Yes.
Everyone's and been the Alicia in the Alicia and Jules situation.
And that's why it was so relatable. And that's actually not relatable. Even shade on him. I actually think he's just not ready. He's young.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's that vibe. And like, I've had my heart broken by not just that one Jules type, but, like, multiple. Like, I went through a lot of dating before I met my boyfriend and so many dudes that were, like, super nice, super amazing, genuinely amazing, delightful human beings, but just not ready.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't even know where this was going. I think I was going to ask you about, like...
Well, like, on the Jules stuff, I guess, like you say, like, I agree with you. I think that there is nothing, like, fundamentally necessarily wrong with Jules as a human being. Like, he's a really nice guy and he's incredibly talented and, like, that's why we connected. Like, I think he's phenomenal, but he's just not in the right place, and it's not why he's not looking for a girlfriend. So I resented him for going on a reality dating TV show.
Agree, because that's how I felt about the Honey Badger.
Yes.
Remember? I still hate him. I don't hate him.
I'm a Honey Badger apologist.
Firstly, he went in the devil's pool, which all Aussie mystery owls will know is cursed. We've done a whole episode of this.
I'm not a fan. Like, I straight out have said to every media outlet that will listen that I am not. Nick once said that he's like, not that I really think that I fit into this category, given the fact that I think I could literally walk past him on the street and he would not know who I am.
He said,
like, if any of these ladies that are upset that I didn't pick anyone or I didn't take this whole process seriously, again, I'm being a bit...
You're paraphrasing.
I'm paraphrasing. Yeah. Like, if any of them are sad or upset, I'll buy them a drink.
Oh.
And it was, like, literally...
I didn't know he said that because I was I took a bit of a pro honey badger stance after the finale.
Oh, because you're like, okay, like if that's how you feel.
Well, I was a bit like if Ali had done it in The Bachelorette, people would have applauded her and been like,
true.
You know, she shouldn't have to do whatever. Anyone, you know, if it was a woman. I thought it was a bit like a bit of a pile on because it's like.
I tell you what the issue is, though.
If he just didn't like them, then he shouldn't have to. But then shit came out afterwards.
Yes.
I also think that like.
That he, you know, didn't ever want to pick anyone.
Like I think that probably the biggest issue was I felt that like had he gone into the show, like this is the difference between him and Ali and it's nothing to do with. Gender.
Mm.
Ali went on the show
for the right reason.
Like she is like she wanted to find her person.
She's sweet.
Nick did not want to find. He wanted to find another tradie undies contract.
Yeah.
So
I compared it in my story to Blake Garvey because I'm like, isn't it better to just pick no one then? Rather than fucking dump Sam Frost for thingy. Like,
But also, like, don't propose.
Don't,
like,
and don't go on the show in the first place. Like, Honey Badger shouldn't have gone on in the first place. But I was playing devil's advocate. And I was like, if, you know, he just didn't gel with these people, then why should he, you know, because so many of them have had fake relationships where.
Oh, totally.
We've been waiting. Like,
or like people
watching our clocks.
Like, I can see that you moved Richie your elbow Alex? To the left on the project, so you mustn't be in love.
Yeah. And, you know, some of them have really just timed out, like Stu and Soph, and where you've kind of been like, oh, yep, reckon, this one's over.
I reckon Richie and Alex at least.
Richie
like,
and Alex, my we're waiting for that one.
Is that Richie is like full on loves Alex, I reckon.
Oh, see, I thought that he was just like a bit like just cool bananas. Off on the, what's it, the rigs? Whatever the things
The mines. Yep, the oil mines. Rigs, the
and
stuff.
He just is not in a place for a relationship.
I don't know. Oh, no, I have a bit of a, like I have a love-hate relationship with Rich. We had big issues in Paradise. We had like words, but I also like sort of have a crush on him.
Yeah.
So.
He needs the long hair back though. Yeah. But that was hot.
He's really smart. He's like super smart, but he's a little bit like you just, you know, those people you just want to shake and you're like, just like say something mean or something like that.
Oh, but they've got no edginess to them.
Like Richie, I'd be like, stop fucking talking about space, man. Like he loves him and Alex Bawdy literally all day. Just talk about space. And it's like the most, it was the most endearing thing ever because they were just like literally a day in the life of people in Paradise would be Richie and Alex working out and they like look so fucking hot.
American
when
Alex?
Out. Yeah, American
about?
Alex. Sorry, Alex Bawdy. Yeah, American Alex. And I'm like, I literally just sit there with my book and be like,
not like, turning the pages.
I'm slowly not watching the sweat drip down your ass.
Wow, I'm really enjoying Capital by Thomas Piketty.
Alicia, you haven't turned a page in an hour and a half.
And then they
the
would go
upside down.
Then they would go have an omelette and they would talk about space.
An omelette.
An omelette.
That's so specific.
And then they'd go to sleep.
Oh, my God.
I'm obsessed. Speaking of being kind of an influencer because you now have like a bit of a following, what is it like going on dating apps now? Because I would think that was weird. Yeah, but is it weird? Like, do people be like, oh, it's Alicia on The Bachelor?
I occasionally get like, let's just open up Hinge right here.
Yeah.
I occasionally, oh, no, actually, Jesus Christ. So this guy, I mean, I'll hook it up for the listeners, but he literally emailed me being like, hey, look, like, I know we didn't match, but like, know who you are.
Oh, my God, how can you get your email? That's creepy.
And they always chuck something in like, I'll give you my rose. And I'm like, is your rose your penis, man? Because,
if that's all you've got for me, then.
Oh, my God, don't make bachelor jokes to Alicia on Tinder, guys. That's what I'm saying to you.
Oh, you can tell. I don't mind acknowledgement.
Don't say the rose thing. That's weird.
Just don't email me.
Don't email.
Yeah,
okay, fair.
Unless you're Alicia's accountant organising a tax appointment, don't email her. Just don't.
Maybe, like, email's too far. I could even take a DM if you're, like, cute and I've just like been off Bumble for a few days.
Yeah. But if true. You like haven't matched, then that's a message, guys. Like take the message.
But I'm not prolific. Like I'm usually when I'm drunk.
You're like, I welcome
like
the DMs.
I'm welcome the DMs because like we can't be on top of every administrative. I just maybe say like email but include like a few pics or something.
Oh my God, we haven't even talked about like fucking mysteries.
Are we up to conspiracy theory?
Okay.
Yet? To
we're
be fair,
almost
it's
there.
Only 7 o'clock and I'm pretty proud of us because this is
We're doing great.
We're doing a great
what
job.
What agenda item are we up to?
Okay.
Like, to explain, we're up to like number four on the sheet, and it's like, to explain what our show is.
What the fuck you're here for.
So why we run a podcast.
Why the fuck is Alicia here? You might be asking after an hour of listening to this absolute shit, which we love. So the link was, we both became fangirls of Alicia. We were following her, and then she posted.
Yes.
It was a pic of you and Jules, and you were like, this person guessed that the Prime Minister I'd want to have over for dinner was Harold Holt. And like Mel or I, like, I can't remember.
You, definitely you.
I think I tagged Mel and I'm like, Harold Holt. And then you liked that comment, and we were like, Alicia, she's our people, and she said something about Harold Holt, because we obviously covered Harold Holt in the podcast because he fucking disappeared, and it's such a wild story.
And to give more info about that,
why do you love Harold Holt?
Why do I want to have him as a dinner guest?
Yeah.
I just like, obviously it's the mystery.
Yeah,
that we all know what need happened. To know.
He is the king of the mermaids, obviously.
I imagine it was the Chinese. No?
Yes. Or the Chinese. So that's the other one. Yeah,
I think
he's king of the mermaids. But yeah. I also love the theory that the Chinese came and got the submarine and got him out of the water and
so
then took him away.
I love the theory that he swam around to another bay and his mysterious, fourth mistress, because he had
she was
waiting for him, and then they drove away, never to be seen again, because he just couldn't be bothered being the Prime Minister anymore.
Yes.
Because he had so many mistresses. I like that one.
Yeah, I like that
one. And I'm a romantic, so I'm like, you go, Harold.
You go cheat on your wife and your other two mistresses.
Don't condone this behaviour. But pick one. Don't do a Nick Cummins on the situation. Just like stick to it.
The Nick Cummins of the ocean.
It's sort of like how Nick went to PNG or something to escape. Yeah.
So basically, after the Harold Holt situation, then we were... Then Mel contacted you to be like, do you like crimey shit? Come on our show. And you were like, I like cults.
Yeah, tell us about the cults.
What a natural thing to say. It's like,
I like cults.
I don't really go for crime, but cults is cult.
Oh, you're in the market, mate. Yeah. You are with your people.
So I suppose I really just flicked my mic.
Click your mic. You're like, okay.
I've become a diva now. I'm like, I'm ready to talk to you about cults.
You're like, cults? Here I go.
I'm just thinking of like the sort of documentaries that I gravitate towards, I guess.
Are you a Manson gal?
Not so
much. Like Mel over here?
See, again, I don't necessarily go for crime. Mm. I more go for, isn't it horrible that I've forgotten the name? Kool-Aid.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Jonestown.
Jonestown. Jonestown fan. Scientology fan.
Yes.
Really
Illuminati?
Just
oh, no,
maybe,
that's a secret society.
I think I feel like I more go for, I think my niche is, and it's a very, very strict niche, is like religious cults.
Yeah.
Or religious, and I mean almost, it does fit within crime because I'm not like going to make any like hasty, but like Scientology's been problematic at the moment.
Yes. Religions that are culty in nature.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think... We're going to lay some heavy stuff down.
Sorry.
My family were a part of a, I would straight out say a cult.
Really?
Yeah, called the Revivalist Center. So my whole family were in the Revivalist Center. It's very big on sort of like the South Coast.
Mm.
And I remember sitting in the car with my grandma one day. Love Elsie. Shout out.
Bless Elsie.
Shout out.
I said the word cunt so many times. I hope you're not
listening. Don't listen, mum and dad.
Love you, Elsie. You cunt.
And I remember I was just literally sitting there just like talking gibberish, and she was like moved, and she thought that I was speaking in tongues. And
and
I remember vividly, I would have been like, I would maybe eight when we were in the church, and then eventually my family were essentially excommunicated.
Really?
So I've always been fascinated, and since like members of my family have done, because the Revivalist Center, I guess, is a little different in the sense that it's very subtle.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not, you're not Googling like cults on on Google and it's like it's coming you've up come as up your with first, like Little Pebble or something like that. But all of the sort of the dynamics mirror a cult. And that has been something that my family have had to work through in terms of, in the same way as like when I've been with, and this sounds, I don't necessarily know if this is a fantastic mirror to provide or analogy, but when I've been in bad relationships in the past, I found myself Googling like XYZ behavior and then it would come up in some sort of list as like emotional abuse or controlling behavior.
Yeah.
And it's just through investigating some of the behavior that you're subject to that you're like, oh, this is problematic. This is not okay. And actually people, once you read a bit more about cults and cult behavior, then you land in this space where you're like, actually I identify a the lot of these behaviors as cult-like behavior.
And maybe because it wasn't like the family, like a heavy cult. You weren't like people go through deprogramming and like heaps of counseling. But then if you don't go through all that counseling and deprogramming, then those behaviors remain.
Completely.
And because you were so young, it's like the formative time of your life.
It's really a blip in my memory. I've sort of been coloured by what my mum or my aunt have told me about that experience for them. And I suppose the one thing that like the thing that I carry with me about that experience is just the intensity of emotion. And I am incredibly, it's really interesting to think about how it's affected me now. I'm very, I have an issue with evangelism now. Like my grandma is still quite religious. And if I go to a service or like I travel to Vietnam, just like on a holiday with one of my friends who's quite Catholic and I went to a few services with her and I find evangelism and I find like church proceedings quite, I'd hate to use the word cause, just because I feel like it's like lost complete meaning, but I find it quite triggering. I get very emotional and I get very upset.
No, I'm the same because I grew up in a church. Like I did 10 years in like a born again Christian life.
Right.
And I'm similar. Like I find it quite, even when I watched this is, it's not controversial really, but basically we had such like charismatic speakers that would come and it's like they're very gifted at talking and at presenting sort of, you know, what they believe. They're very passionate people. And then when I watched Hannah Gadsby's
comedy special.
Amazing.
Well, like, see, I haven't watched it, but I know that I like
Nanette, yeah. Yeah. It's amazing. It's genuinely amazing. This is not a thing of don't watch it. It's 100% do watch it. She is very charismatic and she is very passionate and has an amazing way of like, I guess, communicating her truth. And my sister came in when I was watching it and she was like, oh my God, this is like Hillsong. And I was like, whoa, that's exactly what it's like. Like the kind of same charisma.
Right.
And then it makes you feel a bit weird and icky because you have this bad experience when you were younger and then it's like resonates in you.
People. Not saying you guys were necessarily like cults. Yeah. That's the first thing. Yes. That's how they do
An evangelical leader.
Yeah.
And I feel like, I mean, on a bigger picture, I now am, this is getting very deep about how I feel like, feel about religion in general, but I find it very confronting, probably because I don't identify as having faith. I consider myself. I'm an
atheist. Like I'm the opposite to you guys in that my parents were both atheists. Yeah. And when I was a child, they were like, God isn't real. Religion isn't real. Off you go. So I had no option.
I consider.
So I'm the opposite where I'm like, I was never given that. You know, it's up to you.
And my mum was very much like, we went through it. I was never sort of like, my mum was very much like very soft, like into religion. I think she probably like still, you know, when, you know, those people who identify when they go to sort of like a funeral or something and you do like all the verses.
Yeah.
I still like almost feel like I would find find solace or something or comfort in verses.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, I get like, because I sort of consider myself agnostic or an atheist, I feel like I feel confronted when I see people who are so deeply moved, affected, and that they're like whole being they that they actually feel a genuine connection to faith.
Yeah.
I'm always jealous in a sense.
It's like a nice, harmless faith, whereas you guys didn't have that experience.
Yeah.
Like it was.
I think I was just in such an influential period. Like I was so impressionable. That's the word.
It's your formative years.
It's weird.
You seem to have a little bit more connection or memory of it than I
well,
do.
Well, I was 15 to 14 to 24, sorry. Yeah.
Right.
So it was wild.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I was really like, it was like literally maybe 7 to 8 for me. And I was very much, I was like, I was just knew that I would go to Sunday school while everyone else was like at the service. Mm. And I knew that it was very intense and it was like a hardcore community, but also, I felt pretty kind of detached about it. So when we left the church, I was like, yeah, okay, next.
Yeah. But I reckon that's why I'm fascinated by cults because I think.
And maybe that's why I'm not.
Yeah.
Like cults aren't my thing.
They don't do it for you?
No.
Because I'm just like, I remember vividly. I remember where I was when I first, and I didn't like, you know, have you ever like been sat down for the night watching some Netflix and you don't really intend to stumble upon something so intense and then you're like in it?
Yeah. And I literally like, haven't moved.
I popped it on YouTube. It was the Jones, I think it's like there's a Key Jonestown documentary. Mm. And I was just glued for like 2 hours and I was like weeping at the end. Mm. And
it is very
and
sad.
It is just like, I was, I, and I never, there's almost like a weird sick, like, well, I'm like so glad I found such an intense documentary that moved me in such a way.
Yeah.
But it was very much like, and I didn't really know very much about it. I'd heard the phrase like drink the Kool-Aid and I just remember being shocked to my core. How did I not really know about this?
What that actually means. Yes.
Yes. And it's so much darker. You should read Beautiful Revolutionary by Laura Woollett. She's an Aussie writer. It is so good. It's fiction, but she takes like a person in Jones, like the Jonestown cult. I forgot what they're called. The People's Temple.
Yes.
And follows her story. And it made it so personal for me. Like she does a lot of research to do it.
Mm. Yes.
But it made
it. Amazing.
It's so good. I have it. I could lend it to one of you.
There's
and then the other person. We have a little book club.
There's another fascinating one as well, which funnily enough I watched. So just full circle for us here, bringing you back to Bachelor in Paradise. when we put into, I only know the word from like RuPaul's Drag Race, but they put you into, I've lost the word now. Essentially when you're in lockdown.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, the idea is that you can't like have any more contact and it's like this little clean period where you're like before you go into the show. So we do a lockdown. Like I think I was in a hotel with Kat for like 3 days before we went into Paradise just because they're working out things. You're doing like a publicity photo shoot.
Yes.
You're seconded
they
like
the
away.
They do the same with Big Brother. I remember shooting people when I worked at a magazine so they didn't know who else was going in.
Exactly.
It was all very, they're going to this lift. Now we'll take this person out of that lift.
It's and totally we're just like that. Okay. And we have a mind with us and we get very.
All very cloak and dagger.
And so on Fiji and on the Fijian TV, there was like the Australian channel, which is like the, it's literally called Australia Channel, which is like all the generic, like ABC, you get like ABC News for a bit and then you'll get like, what's that Channel 10 quiz show? Have you been paying attention?
You'll go like
ABC News, have you been paying attention? And then it's just something else random, like Landline or something like that.
I love Landline. Oh, my God, I'm like genuinely obsessed with Landline, but that's a whole other story for another time.
The other TV show that you can watch is like Crime Investigation. So I watched like a lot of the Fernandez murders, like maybe 3 times I watched that documentary. I was all over it. But I also watched this fascinating one that is about this. It was about a cult and they started, it was in America and they started somewhere and then they moved to a country area and they built all these pyramids.
What?
Have you heard of this?
No.
Oh
my God, I need to know all about this pyramid.
You guys have got to get into the – it's all Aussie mystery.
Yeah. Hey, we don't discriminate in mystery minutes. Pyramids. It's anything.
Yeah.
I'm really Googling right now. Pyramids America yeah, cult. Let's wow. see what we get.
What's that thing that just went and got the journos?
No, we really...
The federal police are going to come for you.
Again, it's another religion. Nuwabian Nation. Oh. It's an American religious movement founded by this guy called Dwight York. And it was about this. It was like this black Muslim movement. Oh. And I just watched the most fascinating documentary and I was just drawn in. And when you've been watching Have You Been Paying Attention for hours yeah. on end, you're like, oh, I'm in it.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, my God. Much
better. Oh, gosh. Like, I love you and Cavalier or whatever, but really
had
could
enough
do
of you. Could do it's funny to talk about Batchy and cults because when we were like thinking about this episode and thinking about talking about cults with you, and I'm like, I don't have a favorite cult per se because it's just not my thing. Bring me a bunch of, like, I'd take Ted Bundy over Charles Manson any day, basically. Yes. That like sums us up.
Like an interest, Josie's got more of an interest in like individual loners that go around yes. murdering people.
Psycho, serial killers.
Like I dabble, like, yeah. but like.
But it's weird. Remember Kira Maguire was in a cult.
Yes.
And like a quite not, it was less yes. religious, like revivalist. It was like a polygamous cult.
Yes.
So basically she didn't know which of the women in this group was her mum until she was five. And that's when her mum actually decided to take them away from that situation. Mm. And it was kind of outed in a magazine.
Yeah.
And then she did an interview on The Project. It was a really good interview. It's still online. I was watching it the other day. I love Kira. Like Alicia and Kira, they're the only people I care about from Bachelor Nation or whatever. love Kira. And she was kind of a bit affronted that it had kind of been
outed
like that. But she then like had her moment to actually speak her truth, I guess, on The Project in the interview. And basically this guy had like 20 wives and like all these kids.
Oh, yeah. I've read her story extensively. Weird. Again, like I was a Batch fangirl. Kira was going into the show like one of my faves, I guess.
Love her.
Someone that I'm like and I am really moved by her story and I'm so glad that she's been able to share it, even though maybe initially I don't think it was actually necessarily willing on her part from what I got the vibe of.
Yeah.
We're coming up to 2 hours.
Whoa.
Okay. Well, maybe it's time to
say bye.
To say our bye.
Thank you so much for coming on, Alicia.
No worries. You're a legend. I've loved it.
Guys, you can follow Alicia on Instagram. What's your handle?
I think
it's very long.
You've got a name like mine.
It's my whole name.
Imagine if I was Josephine.RosenbergClark. Like,
yeah.
How ridiculous.
It's Alicia, my first name.
Alicia.
With an S.
S-H.
Yeah.
A-L-I-S-H.
So write that in and see how far that takes you. And then we've got Aitken Radburn. So just look me up on the Daily Mail or something. Yeah, type in Alicia Bachelor in Paradise
on
Google.
And then you'll find her.
And then come to my Instagram. Yeah. And please DM me if you've watched this episode.
But also Alicia is going to join the group because I'm looking at her demanding
it. I'm doing it right now and I'm just going to like.
And she's going to like... be there and we'll tag her.
And if you guys don't know what the group is, it's the Aussie Mystery Hour podcast on Facebook. Type that in to the search bar. You'll find it. Join it.
Is that all we have to say?
Yeah. See ya.
See ya.
Bye.